Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, December 21st, 2025. I'm Shaw Gage. Welcome on into Sunday morning. Hope you're doing well today. Merry Christmas, everybody. We're moving into Christmas week. Hard to believe we're already to this time of year, but ready or not, here it comes. Going to have a little bit of a different conversation this morning, a little bit different perspective of the Christmas season, and one special Christmas for me and my family in particular. But want to share this verse as we started off today, but Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Going to share some stories this morning and some insight from an event a few years back where that verse was brought very obviously and to fruition in our situation. But we'll come back here on the next segment and start talking about that. But hang in there, enjoy some music, and we'll be back on the other side. I've shared before on this program about an accident that my sons and I had back on October 30th of 2012, where we were involved in a traffic accident that we all walked away from. But out of that situation, I came away with a cancer diagnosis of multiple myeloma. And that was 13 years ago. And it was something that, you know, obviously I wouldn't want anybody to go through it. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But when I tell you this, that I wouldn't trade it for the world and that experience for the world, I mean it. And I'm going to give you some insight this morning on just kind of how it spoke to me and just some things that happened. But obviously, I had this accident. And, you know, when you go through something like that, you can feel like a victim. And obviously, felt like a victim and held a lot of anger and resentment towards the individual that had hit us. And it was just one of those situations where I learned it was a DUI situation. And the lady that hit us, I'll just be honest, I was just angry and I was mad, and it felt like my heart was just black, and it was just like the evil Spider-Man, that movie when he went evil or dark or whatever, and my heart felt the same way. And it felt so good, and it felt so justified, like, how dare she? You know, who am I? Like, I've never made a mistake. But that's where my heart was. And I tried to put on a good face, and I tried to talk about, hey, we're going to go impact the world through Jesus Christ. And I was saying those things, but I couldn't with the individual that caused this accident. And I remember going to Vanderbilt, and I would sit in these waiting rooms, and I just began, for my own personal benefit or therapy, whatever you want to call that, I began to focus on others. And I took the emphasis off of myself, and I began to pray for people, with people, silently or across the room or with them out loud, doctors, nurses, patients. And I just began to try to bless other individuals through my circumstance and my situation. And one afternoon, I walked into a waiting room in a doctor's office up at Vanderbilt Hospital, and there was nobody in the room. And so I said, well, hey, I don't have to pray today. There's nobody in here. And I got my phone out, and as I was about to start scrolling through whatever, the Lord showed up, and the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart and said this, said, not today, you're praying for Patsy. And that was the individual who had hit me and in the accident. And I just said, okay, I don't really know how to do this, but I'm going to pray. And I just remember praying. I just was very judgmental in my prayers. And I said, God, just pray that you'll forgive this person. And just, you know, how could she be thinking that and be doing that? And there was a lot of anger coming out in my prayer. And about 20 seconds into the prayer, the Lord stopped me. And he said this three times. He said, you got to find her, you got to forgive her, and you got to tell her about me. You got to find her, you got to forgive her, you got to tell her about me. You got to find her, you got to forgive her, and you got to tell her about me. And when I heard that three times, I knew the Lord was speaking to me. That's just my own personal belief, but I know when I hear things in three, that that's usually the Lord speaking to me, because it's just confirmation, confirmation, confirmation. And so I was kind of spooked, to be honest with you. I've had that feeling before. I've heard that before, that just tug in my heart that I'm supposed to do something. And I knew it was real because I didn't want to do it. And that went against everything that I was feeling at the time, with the anger and the resentment that felt so justified. But I knew the Lord was right. And so I began to pray, and I just began to try to forgive Patsy. I began to think about what that would look like and how I would do that. And I was really just blown away because the Lord was beginning to soften my heart. And I remember going back to school the next day, and I shared it with some of my students, and I was in a class with some eighth grade boys, biology. And as I was sharing it with them, I shared that story, and I said, you know, I got to the part where I said, I got to find her, I got to forgive her, and I got to tell her about Jesus. And one of my guys raised his hand, and he goes, Coach. And I said, yeah, man. He said, forget all that. You just need to sue her. And I went, oh, my goodness, are we missing it? And I just remember bowing my head at my podium that afternoon, and I said, dear Lord, please take this conversation because I'm about to blow it in a major way. And I looked back up at the boys, and I said, hey, I said, we ought to sue her? Yeah, I mean, are you serious? Like, how much do you think we could get? And they started going around the room, $5,000, $10,000, $50,000, $100,000. And it just kept going. And finally, I called time out. I said, guys, whoa, 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 whoa. Are you telling me that we could get $1 million for this accident? Like, we're going to call the big trial injury lawyer at the time up in Nashville was offering $1 million settlement. So we're going to call that gentleman, and we're going to get the best, and we're going to go big. Like, are you serious? I could have $1 million in my bank account this afternoon because this lady had too much to drink and hit us. Whoa. I said, or we could be obedient to what the Lord's calling me to do and go talk to Patsy about grace and love and mercy and forgiveness and impact her life forever. And it was just stunned silence. And in a room full of 15 eighth grade boys and I like to say their favorite teacher and favorite coach, it could get a little rowdy sometimes, but when we had a dead silence fall across that room, and I just looked them all in the eye, and I said, I tell you what, you can have that $1 million every day of the week. I'm going to tell Patsy about Jesus. And y'all, it was one of the most impactful classes I've ever been a part of. It wasn't anything to do with me, and it wasn't anything to do with those students. It had everything to do with the Holy Spirit giving us that conviction right there that day. Do we serve the money? Do we serve the flesh? Do we serve the things of this earth that can make us try to feel better? Or are we serving what God's called us to do, and that's to go impact one another? Think about that this morning. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to share what happened next. It's pretty cool, so I hope you'll come back on the other side, and the story gets better, I promise you. So listen, I would love to tell you that I forgave her instantly, but it just didn't happen. I was still holding on to it day by day, hour by hour. It was a consistent or a gradual, I just had to keep trying. Lord, help me forgive her, help me forgive her, help me forgive her. And we fast forward to December 22nd. It was a few days before Christmas. Janet and I had gone out to the church where we were attending at the time, and there was a Christmas pageant they had that year, and it was very different. It wasn't your typical Jesus in the manger scene. It chronicled stories throughout God's word where God had his hand on certain individuals. And every individual that God had his hand on in those skits that night had a bright red piece of fabric on their headband or a sash around their waist or a belt, whatever it may be. And it just kind of became consistent throughout that program that you realize, all right, that red signifies God's got his hand on that individual. And then at the end of the production, it turned out all the characters that were in that red were all intertwined with one piece of cloth. And I kind of remember going, what was that all about? Well, it signified to me that they were all connected, right? We're all connected. God's got his hand on you. We're all connected. We're all his children. And so I was like, well, that was a different Christmas program, but cool. We go have dinner and we drive home that night. And as we pull into the driveway, we had not really done the typical icicle lights and the snow globes and all the stuff that the boys like as far as Christmas decorations go. We had just simply, I had built a cross out of some limbs, two tree limbs that fell in my yard, and I took screws and twine, and I made a cross. And I planted that cross about a foot deep in my front flower bed, and then it stood about, I'd say, 5.5-6 feet tall. And we put a floodlight under that cross, and where it shone, the shadow of the cross covered our house. And it was one of the most beautiful Christmas decorations, very simple. Some people might have missed it, really not, what is that about? But that's, to us, that Christmas, and really every Christmas, it's all about Jesus and what his ministry here on earth was all about. And so, as we pulled into the driveway that night and we saw the only light on the property was that spotlight hitting the house, and the shadow was just cascading over that white house, and I just can see it so vividly in my brain, in my memory. And as we pulled up closer, I noticed that there was something hanging over the cross, and it turns out Janet had gone to Target that day, and she brought a wreath, and she had hung it over the cross. And as we got closer and inched up the driveway, I realized it was like a wreath made of red, bright red rose petals. And it was made out of a real thin balsa wood, but it was a really cool wreath. And as I looked at it and I saw that red, I just began to break down. I said, God's got his hand on us, just like those people in that story tonight and those stories throughout the Old and New Testament that the Christmas pageant had been about. And so I was trying to be macho, and I just rolled out of the car. I was like, I go, you know, so I go on in the house, and I lock the door, and I run around through the downstairs like I'm going into the bathroom, and I just ran to the playroom, and I fell out on the floor, and I just began to cry, and I began to sob, and I just began to let it all go, and all that anger, all that resentment, all that, whatever you want to call that, I just go, God, let it go. I give it to you. Forgive me for being angry at Patsy, and I finally realized I had to let that go. Nothing anybody else could do for me. I had to let it go, and I confessed it before the Lord, and I said, Lord, just take it. Please take it. And it turns out Janet had seen the same thing. She had gone upstairs and was overcome with emotion as well over the fact that she saw that red as well and said, God's got his hand on us. And so later on that night, I go upstairs, go to bed, and I'm trying to hold it together and eventually go to sleep. And at 3:38 in the morning on December 23rd, the following morning, 2012, 3:38 in the morning, I awake in my bed and I'm frozen. I'm staring at the vaulted ceiling. The ambient light from that floodlight shining on the cross was coming through our bedroom window in the front of the house. And I could see the vaulted ceiling and the ceiling fan hanging, and I'll just never forget. I could not move. I could not roll over. I could not close my eyes. I feel like I was frozen in time. And I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, today you go see Patsy. Today's the day you go see Patsy. Today's the day you go see Patsy. And I knew three times that for me, here we go. And I knew what that meant. And so it took me about 10 minutes to get the courage up to reach out with my foot and feel if the floor was still there, because this was such an earth-shattering experience. And it was. And I got up and I went downstairs 4:00 in the morning. I fell back on that playroom floor and just began to cry and sob and let it more go. And just, God, who am I? You are God. And just use me in this situation. And just, again, I give it to you. And a short time later, Janet came down to check on me, and she looked at me and she said, are you okay? And I said, no. And she said, what's up? And I said, did you happen to hear a conversation around 3:38 this morning in the bedroom? And she said, no, I just woke up and you're not in bed. And no, sometimes you get uncomfortable with the chemo side effects and just checking on you. And I told her what happened, and she's crying, I'm crying. And I said, hey, why don't we get dressed and let's go ride out? And, you know, I've got her address from all the police reports and stuff. I said, let's ride out there and see her. And Janet says, you know, I don't really think that'd be a good idea. She said, why don't you just write her a letter? And I said, yeah, okay. And I remember turning and walking out of the kitchen and going, letter? I'm not a good letter writer, but like, what? God, what are you doing? Like, I thought you told me I needed to go see Patsy today. And so I go sit on the couch, and I'm in the playroom, and I'm just looking around, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. And I look over on the corner table, and there's a notebook, a blue notebook with a pen laying on top of it. And it was like it was looking at me going, come on, try me. And I go, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. Please use me to write this letter. And I open it up, and I dated it December 23rd, 2012. And when we come back on the other side, I'm going to share that letter with you and how God used it to impact a lot of people. So I do feel like the Lord gave me these words, because as you hear this letter, only he could have written with this kind of a heart, and I just happened to be moving the pen. But it was December 23rd, 2012. Dear Patsy, my name is Shaw, and I wanted to share my story with you and how you helped have a major impact on my life. God has blessed my family and I through this situation, and it is my prayer that he will bless you and your family as well. On October 30th of this year, my two sons and I were driving home from school, and it just seemed to be another regular day. As we topped the hill on Carter's Creek Pike, we were hit by you, and our lives were changed forever. I saw you coming across the yellow lines, but there was nowhere for me to go. I told my boys, guys, we're about to dot, dot, dot. I couldn't get the words to get hit out of my mouth. By the time we had stopped spinning and we came to a stop in the mouth of a driveway, no coincidence, that is the only driveway on that side of the road for about a mile stretch, and everywhere else just drops off the side. I immediately looked back at my sons, and they were scared, but okay. We assessed the situation and realized that our car was pretty messed up, but we were saved. One of my sons was complaining about his neck hurting, and my back started to tighten up, so the paramedics took my son in the ambulance, and I followed behind in my wife's car. By the time I got to the hospital, my wife and son were heading towards X-ray. My wife asked me to get one as well. I agreed, even though I was tired, and assumed that a couple of Advil would do the trick. A short while later, the X-rays for my son returned, and everything was okay with his neck. After several more minutes of waiting, the doctor then came in to see me. When the doctor asked my sons to walk down the hall with a nurse, I knew something was wrong. My heart dropped and my stomach turned. She came back in and told me something I will never forget. She said, "Your back and ribs are fine, but you have a large mass located up in your left shoulder." My wife, who is a charge nurse at the Vanderbilt Cancer Clinic, no coincidence, immediately asked for more X-rays. But the doctor replied and explained that many had been taken and it was something that was for real. It turns out that I have a cancer called multiple myeloma. We are in the best of hands with God as healer and the best doctors at Vanderbilt Hospital assisting him along the way. I'm sharing my story with you because you had a major purpose in this event. I will admit at first that I was mad at you for causing that wreck, but that anger soon passed and turned to thankfulness. If we hadn't been involved in the wreck, I would have never gotten that X-ray and would still be thinking I was cancer-free. I want to tell you that I forgive you and my sons forgive you. You made a mistake, but who hasn't? I know that I've made tons of mistakes in my life, but I don't think life is about the mistakes we make. It's about how we respond to those mistakes. God uses these times to draw us closer to Him. I find it so exciting to be drawing near to Christmas, the birthday of Jesus Christ. And all He wants for Christmas is us. He wants our hearts to search and find Him. All we have to do is say, okay. That's all we have to do. I spent a lot of years running from God, insisting that I could handle life on my own. Well, I finally figured out it was so much easier just turning my life over to Him. He has never let me down or allowed me to go without. My family and I have felt His presence like never before over the last 2 months. I don't deserve any blessings from the Creator of the universe, yet He continues to pour them all over me. I have screwed up so many times, yet He still gives me a chance to do it again. Having Jesus in my heart and control of my life gives me a peace like no other. I know that no matter what happens in life, He will be there to lift me up, dust me off, and tell me to get back in the game. I think a lot about the fact that God loves us all so much that He sent His Son Jesus down to die on the cross for our sins. Our sins? How fair is that? That's not fair. That's God's perfect love for you and me. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and I am praying that you will find peace and comfort from Him this season. I am praying that He will reveal Himself to us all in a deeper way this Christmas as well. I also pray that we will all give Him what He wants for His birthday, us, and that His purpose will be revealed in us. God bless you, Shaw. So as I finished writing that letter, I made a copy of it. Something prompted me to do that just so I'd have a record of it, and I'm so glad that I did so that I could share it with you today. But I took a copy, I took the original and put it in an envelope and tucked it in a Jesus Calling book, and I as an extra devotion book, two students had given me the same Christmas gift that year, so I put that in the letter in one of those books, and I drove out to her house, and turns out she wasn't home that morning, nor was anybody in her family, and it was a 30-minute drive, 40-minute drive from my house, so it wasn't a wasted trip because thank you, Lord, that I listened to Janet that morning, and I wrote that letter. And I remember going, why am I writing a letter? I don't really do good at writing letters, but I did. And when I got to Patsy's front porch, I realized this is why I'd written the letter. And so I said a prayer for her and her family, and I left. and went did Christmas for the holidays, traveling to Birmingham and Cincinnati, and got back to Middle Tennessee in early January. We're back at school, and I'm sitting in my classroom one of those first few days back, and one of the board members, Tim Fish, comes in, and he says, "How was your holiday?" And I told him, and we start sharing how the holidays were, and I shared the letter with him, and I said, "Tim, I just, man, I got to share this with you. It's powerful. It's just it's an awesome opportunity, and man, I've just kind of let all this go, and man, my heart just feels so much lighter." And I said, "But Tim, I want to know that she got my letter. Like, she hadn't written me back, and it's been like 3 weeks. And, you know, I just, where is it?" And Tim just gave me some good godly counsel. And he said, "Man, she'll write you back. Don't worry. It'll come. It's just God's timing, not yours." And I said, "Okay." And so went home that afternoon, and the boys are playing basketball in the driveway, and I'm out, you know, sitting on the front porch enjoying the sun, and the ball rolls down the hill, and they started arguing over whose turn it was to go walk down the hill and get the basketball that had rolled down. And I said, "Guys, I got it." And so I needed to walk and get some exercise anyway, so I walked down our driveway down the steep hill, and I threw the ball back up. And as I was about to come back across the street, I looked over at my mailbox, and I said, "I'm going to go get the mail." And went, "What if?" And, you know, ha, ha, ha. So I go over to the mailbox, and there's a pretty decent stack size mail, you know, in the mailbox. I open up, and I look at the top letter, and it says, "To Shaw from Patsy." And I said, "No way." And y'all, I had some neuropathy stuff going on, and I wasn't, you know, crippled, but it hurt to walk. But I ran up that driveway, and I got up on my front porch, and I opened it up. And it was a letter back to me. And it was one of the most profound things that I've ever had written to me. And I'm going to share it in the next segment. It would take too long to read now, but just incredible, incredible experience that Patsy extended back to me. And we'll share that here on the other side. I hope you're doing well today. Wherever you're going through, whatever good, bad, or indifferent, just thank the Lord that you're here today. Thank Him for everything that you've got in life. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have, and it'll give you a fresh perspective. And that's what this did for me. But I'm going to read the other letter coming back on the other side. Listen to some music, grab a cup of coffee, and we'll be back here in just a few. So as I open this envelope from Patsy, I open it and I see this. "Dear Shaw, thank you so much for the wonderful gift that your letter conveyed to me. It was perfect in every possible way. You've brought healing to my heart in ways that are difficult to express, but I want to try. I've intended to write you a thank you for the entire time since 1223, but I needed to absorb all the mercy and grace you and your boys and the Lord Himself have shown me. I want to first say how sorry I am for the accident. I know you forgive me and I'm thankful, but you need to know that I am truly sorry. You were all innocent and I was not. I was wrong to drive in the condition I was in, which was so bad that I wasn't even aware that I'd had an accident. Even before hearing from you, I knew God's hand of mercy and that I had not killed or badly injured you or your sons. I will never forget the things that could have been. In fact, as I came to the line from your letter where you said your lives were changed forever, my heart nearly broke with the horror of what could have happened. Thank the Lord that our families don't have to live with the heartache that could have been. Before I got your letter, I was struggling with hopelessness and felt that I had done something almost unforgivable. I had spent most of my 58 years trying to be good and trying to earn love from people who mattered the most to me and from God as well. I had made a mistake and had been forgiven, but I felt that I hadn't done anything, quote, big, unquote, wrong since I accepted Christ. As if that's even good theology. We're all, in part, the products of our experiences, and I experienced rejection from parents when I didn't meet their expectations. The father of lies used their less-than-perfect parenting skills to instill in me some really bad beliefs about my relationships with people and God. I didn't drink for most of my life, so although I was raised in alcoholism, I didn't realize I was an alcoholic. In the last few years, what started out as an occasional glass of wine ended up with our accident. I knew I had a problem and had already talked with my pastor and had started attending AA meetings. I can't explain the insanity of alcoholism to anyone, but I wanted to be free of it and I wanted to drink too. How could I feel that way after not drinking for most of my life? Once I asked God to help me, my sponsor told me he would never let me get away with drinking again, but would do whatever it whatever he had to do to help me stop. The day after the accident, she told me that and said his mercy was all over the accident, but he was stopping me. Dear Lord, I want that to be the very end of this in my life, and I want to go forward serving him as he shows me. It bothers me to no end that to help someone else, anyone had to go through anything but bad because of me. I've dealt with that and just a strong feeling of letting down so many people and most of all the Lord, because this is a big wrong. Our God doesn't belong in the box I've tried to put him in, though. He is not frail and imperfect like my earthly father, who was just a wounded person himself. God not only refused to reject me, he sent me a message of hope and peace and healing through you. I can't even imagine how precious you are to him, how his face must shine with love and pride. Your heart was tender to forgive, and you were obedient to his leading and wrote that letter. I felt as though God had put his arms around me when I read it. I felt forgiven, and I felt hope and peace. I felt the enormity of his plan and how he worked for your good and mine, just as Romans 8:28 tells us. I felt that he showed me love and forgiveness through a stranger that belonged to him just as I do. I feel that my connection to you is a God thing because he is God Most High and you are his faithful servant. He has set my feet on a path toward healing, and I pray every morning that he brings you healing from your cancer. Not only did your letter touch me, but on Christmas Eve, I read it to my son, his wife, my daughter, her husband, my other daughter, and her two children, girls ages 14 and 11. They are all old enough to realize what an awesome gift it is, and I know that the Holy Spirit will use it to help each of them where they are. I pray that they see God's mighty hand at work in mama's and grandmama's life, even though she stumbled and fell. I pray that they get a taste of the goodness of life lived for God and the reality that they can't earn it and don't have to worry about losing it. Also, Shaw, the book you gave me has been a blessing. I started the Jesus Calling devotional journal after the accident, and this other book by her, Sarah Young, couldn't have been more perfect choice. It is speaking to my heart every day. God has given me a scripture to help me. I had so much guilt and so many questions because I already walked with him and served him before this trouble. How could I get it so messed up? Jeremiah 18:1-4 says, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay and started again. The clay was in the potter's hand the entire time, just as we are in God's hand. Like the potter, God may sometimes crush us, prune us, discipline us, etc., and start over, but he does not discard us. The word promises that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. Thank you, Shaw, from the bottom of my heart for being part of the work God is doing in me. Thank you for being obedient to his teaching and his leading and being his hand of love to me. It is one of the most profound things ever to happen to me. May God bless you with all good blessings, give you joy and healing, and many years of serving him. Patsy. By the way, I will keep your letter forever, tear stained and all. Y'all, that's God. That's not me. I asked God to use me, and he did it, and he showed up. Wow. I appreciate you putting up with my reading of two letters. I know they were pretty lengthy, but I just wanted to share those with you because, y'all, that's what happens when you just turn it over to God and just let him use you. I am nobody. I'm just Shaw, just a guy from Birmingham, Alabama, that years ago said, yes, Lord, use me. Look, I mess it up every day. I'm nobody. I'm nobody perfect, but I can tell you when I lean into him and I trust him and I give God those situations, said, let Christ shine through me. Y'all, that's what he does. And I'm not reading those letters and those responses to say, look at Shaw. I'm reading those letters so that I can say, look at God. Look what he did through me. If we're not willing to do it, who's going to do it? God's been using people on this planet for a long, long time. And when you just step out, I want to encourage you, when you just step out in faith and say, God, use me, get ready. I hope you're not going to go through a cancer journey. I hope you're not going to go through anything tragic. But I feel like when you do it and you're earnest and you're honest about that, God will use you and he'll bless you. Y'all, I said it earlier. I wouldn't wish what I went through in a car wreck and the cancer diagnosis and even these letters. I wouldn't wish any of that story on anybody. I wouldn't, my worst enemy. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I think now you know why. Because I learned so much through this about not only who I am and who God is, but I learned who I'm not and who he really is. See, Shaw is very infantile. I'm a very tiny, tiny speck of dust in this grand thing called life. But he, God, is the creator of the universe. And he loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's the beginning of Christ's life here on this earth. It's the beginning of him coming and establishing his kingdom and calling his children. And we celebrate it, and people go, well, it's this, it's that. It's the birth of Jesus Christ that we're celebrating. Everything stops on December 25th, and we pause because he is God. And that sacrifice, I don't find that to be a coincidence that the whole calendar is based on him, y'all. It's real, it's genuine. And instances like this that I've been through, that I shared my heart with you this morning, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he used me and that it's him. Because if it was me, think about it. It would be angry. It would be bitterness. It would be, I would be calling names. I would still be just a wreck. Like, I would still be tied up in myself. But God's grace allowed me to forgive Patsy. And he allowed me to express that through a letter. He allowed me to write a letter and just to have that impact. And so it's an amazing thing. If you just trust him, it's not going to look like what you think. If you'd have told me 20 years ago when I said, or 30 years ago, I'm giving my life to the Lord. Yes, Lord, wherever you want me to go. If you'd have told me I'd have been through something like this, I would have said, you're crazy. Not me. I couldn't make it through that. But y'all, he led me through that. And he gave me a peace. And 13 years after the fact, we're still sitting here, still having this conversation. And it's all because he wants me to tell you that he loves you. And then he wants you. All you have to do is say yes. Tell him yes today. Give him what he wants for Christmas, his birthday. Give him you. Say yes, Lord, today. Hey, whatever you're going through, keep on keeping on and keep on smiling and keep on encouraging people, because that's what it's all about. Merry Christmas, everybody, and we'll see you back here next week on Sunday morning.
Thanks for listening to the Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 1065, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.